1025.
In Ballymun and Beijing.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Coolock and Cairo.
Radio WXTC.net.
In Artane and Amsterdam.
Radio WXTC.net.
Hello and welcome, it's Radio WXTC.net with your host Brian Green. It's just gone past the midnight hour in Dublin and it is now the 25th. So I've just made it into the 25th, which is what, a month and 2 days since the last WXTC edition of the Brian Green podcast. And yes, we will have the promised I Love Radio part two, but we're going to put that to the end of this week's programme and get through the business of today first. So we've just jotted down a few notes that, well, once expanded, will become today's show notes. And it's what, just some business to get through and discuss a few things. Somebody was asking me what my podcast is all about recently. It was at the IA Awards. And in a nutshell, I put it down to memories. Bringing back memories of yesteryear is what we do a lot here. It's not going to be the theme of the programme going forward and for always, but we will always do a lot of that. So we'll do some current stuff too, but rely on the memories. They really take us back. I want to talk to you about some developments here at the WXTC studio house. We've been getting ourselves some new developments on the downstairs, on the ground floor, and we've had the builders in. And first of all, we got them in to knock down the walls and make one of the back rooms larger. There was a different set of builders and they were in and out, and it was a quick job. Really nice. Some, you know, older gentlemen that, you know, work 10 till 4 and not much in between those hours, do excellent work, tidy up after them, and they are out. Move it forward about 6 weeks, because it takes about 6 weeks to engage labourers and builders in Dublin, because it's just so damn hard to find them. We had to get an electrician and a plumber and a tiler in before we got the kitchen guys in. And okay, leave out the electrician because he's my brother. The tilers came in and they were two young chaps, from one Irish guy and a guy from, I think he was from Russia. And it's just a comparison between the old builders and the young fellas that come in. The young fellas come in and they work from 8 o'clock to 6:30, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. They don't talk too much. They don't drink lots of tea. They're not the stereotypical builder. They work damn hard. I'm sure they're getting near minimum wage, which is fairly unfair, really. And they don't tidy up after themselves. So you've got this trade-off of guys who pace themselves, take it easy, know what they're doing, excellent tradesmen, been doing it for years, and they tidy up and go home at 4 o'clock. Or you've got the guys who work all day and they haven't been trained, they haven't gone through the apprenticeship programme, I'm sure, that shows them that you don't leave a place like a bomb site with broken tiles knee-high in the back garden and no shovels or bags or anything. Their bosses mustn't even give them anything to, you know, take away any of the mess. And I'd say a lot of it's down to the new developments in this country with regards to waste management, that everybody who brings anything into your house leaves all its packaging and all its parts and bits and pieces behind them. Basically, you paid for them and somehow you are going to have to dispose of them, even if you can't get rid of them inside your wheelie bin. So that was my take on the difference with builders. They don't call you back as well. They just don't. But here's a strange thing. Planning permission went through for a future extension, and no sooner had it gone through and it's listed on the county council's websites, No sooner has it gone through than the junk mail starts arriving. When we were selling our house, we got the junk mail when we listed on myhome.ie. They have a serious problem with people just skimming their site for addresses of people who are moving, and you get removal men, curtain fitters, you name it. They are writing to you to say, we have a service offering for you, you nice house mover, and we hope that you find your new home and we'll help you do this, that and the other. Builders are skimming the planning results, the results of planning. You know, planning granted, planning rejected. But if they get a granted and they see what it is, they are in with their database and their mailer lists, and they're sending you all the things that these builders can do for you. Ring them. Tell them to be here Tuesday, 9:30. Will they turn up? Not from what I can see. We had to go through two gas men to fit one pipe. And that was over a period of 4 weeks. And they weren't from the same company. Just an example of what's going on. Latest developments on another topic, and this is something that materialised at about 2:30 this afternoon in Wales. Irish Ferries ship has been grounded at the port, and the workers, the seamen and their officers have protected themselves. They've locked themselves into the engine room. Situation transpires that the company Irish Ferries are trying to outsource the entire workforce to cheap Eastern European workers. Basically, this has been going on. If you've been listening to the Irish Emigrant News, you'll have heard about it for over 2 months now. And last night, the Taoiseach in this country, Bertie Ahern, signalled in a very grand way, there is nothing more we can do about this. It is coming and our hands are tied and that's the end of it, basically. No sooner has he said that, but Irish Ferries get 70 workers onto the boat in Wales this afternoon with 20 new security guards who come on in plain clothes, change into flak jackets in the toilets, I hear, and start protecting the boat from its own workforce who are about to be replaced by outsourced work. The officers and the ship's crew got wise to this quickly and got down to the engine room and have boarded themselves in there. It's spreading, and another Irish Ferries boat has had similar incident happen on it when it docked later in Holyhead this evening. And this is an ongoing situation, so I'd ask you, if you're interested, to check out some of the Irish news websites to see how this story might develop. But it's going to most likely shut down this ferry for an extended period of time into the near future. WXTC.net, podcasting and soapboxing. I'm Brian Green. We move on from those elements into some news and developments in the podcasting world. And I don't know if you've been following it, but Adam Curry and the Daily Source Code had a bit of a scare and a bit of a hiccup there about 2.5-3 weeks ago, when they got some letters from the Dutch licensing authorities and told them they were coming after them. We're coming after you. I'm going to do a light up here. Hang on a sec. By the way, the new kitchen is lovely. Can't show it to you in audio. Maybe we'll photograph it and stick it on the WXTC webpage, alongside Charlotte and Sophie and their picture from one of the old kitchens where they're Skyping away. You might know the picture. Anyway, back to PodSafe. So, Podshow, Curry's company, and their Pod Squad have all moved towards PodSafe and their own PodSafe music network, which has to be applauded, of which I'm a member, and if I was more musical in the show, I would dip in and out of and get more tunes from. And we were saved in the last show by able to get one of the tracks that was dying on us as we tried to play it live here on the show. And we went straight over to their system and played it from there, where we checked it out and told the artist that we had played it and did all the proper things that you should do when you play a song from that network. The interesting thing is that it has been spreading, and the French have said that music that is licensed within the French licensing authorities, you cannot dual license according to the French authorities. You're not allowed to say it's pod safe and for radio play and television play and commercials and theatres, it's, you know, fully licensed. I'm interested in that one. Very interested that you own the music that you make and you license it out. How exclusive is that license? I suppose it's there in black and white and print in the documents that you sign when you give a collecting agency the rights to collect on your behalf. But I'll take it back about 10 and a half years to a time when the web was in its infancy and websites were springing up, and we had a website, well, we had about 7 or 8 with music on them, and we got a call from the licensing people, and I can name them, the MCPS here in Ireland, and they wanted us to assist them and get them a website as well, because they saw the need for the internet and all that. So we partnered with them, or we engaged with them as a client and server relationship, and we made them their very first mcps.ie website. In talking with them, they said, you've got music on your websites and, you know, have you considered getting them licensed? And we said, hello, are you listening to the debate, or are you listening to the silence? There's nobody saying anything about this. Nobody is in the clear as to what is what. And over a period of about 5 or 6 weeks, they came up with some pricing, which is a, you know, a great way. And if podcasting could make it to the point where we know how much it's going to cost to license to play licensed music in podcasts, it would be great. But they came up with this gig where you had to pay £5 per sample per year. The samples had to be of a low quality, and all real media in 94-95 was low quality, and it has to be under 30 seconds long. And we thought, okay, we can comply with the 30 seconds, but the fiver was a bit of a problem. And I think I've mentioned this before in a previous show, and I'll explain it again. The problem I had, but we had to pay it, but, you know, that's the way things go. It was the artist's own website promoting the artist, and the artist had a licensing agreement with this collection agency, and they were collecting a fiver per track per year, taking out a commission and passing the money back to the artist. So you can see what's going on here. There was a money being taken off the artist, a percentage taken, and then less money given back to the artist. Who pays the bills for the website in an artist-owned situation? The artist does. So no net benefit on the net in that situation. We are eager to come to a situation in Irish podcasting where we know what the lie of the land is, what the law of the land is. Now, the law of the land is there, and it needs to be reinterpreted as technology develops. It might also need to have new pricing structures, and we need to go through those discussions with the representative bodies and the legal people, and we look forward to going through that. And we also respect the law, and we also respect the copyright of people's material. So I think we need to move into a period where we know what we're doing, and we're clear, and we have our annual fees, and we get on and we monetize podcasting to pay for them if that's the way it has to go. If we want to play that kind of music in the shows, we have to pay up, but we need to know where it's coming from. And in order to do that, I think podcasters need to be part of that discussion. They can't have it land upon them. I think they need to be in discussions and get themselves represented. To that end, last weekend I put out a call to set up a representative body for Irish podcasters, and we will restrict it to the island of Ireland. and we've set up a forum, and from a forum will spring, well, hopefully a full representative body, but we can have websites and wikis and training and networks of assistance and networks of similarities and networks of business that encapsulate what is happening in Ireland. There's about 35 to 40 podcasts happening. It's very, very small in number at the moment, but mushrooming as the weeks go by, never mind the months. And if you're interested in that forum, I'll read out the web address of where you can sign up. The forum's called Opencast, and you can get details on how to subscribe to that at www.webnet.ie/open. Opencast is the particular list of six that you need to subscribe to there if you want more details. So that's the representative body, and we might be dipping back in future shows just to tell you of some happenings that are happening within the representative body. You can also check out news of that in my new and improved podcasting news blog, which is different to the Brian Green blog, and that's moved location, but it's bi-located with its old address, so everything is just continuous there, and it's now at www.dupe.ie/podcasting_news/. That's a mouthful, but plug it in and everything should work. Let me just confirm that I got that address right, and I'll click in now. Yes, it is www.dupe.ie/podcasting_news. And you can leave off the trailing forward slash because I think the server knows how to deal with that one. And that's where we are pumping all the latest podcasting events and news for Dupe Design from my company's point of view. Excuse me for coughing into the microphone. We've just been interviewed today, or in date times yesterday, for Near FM 101.6, and that interview is being repeated at 9 a.m. Friday. Probably by the time you hear this program, that interview will have aired again in its repeat at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So check it out in either of the blogs, and we should be able to put a link up to that particular interview. It was with Robbie up there, and he's a guy I met a number of years ago in Wynn's Hotel at a political bash. And nice to chat with him again after all these years. Just going to flick back down through some of the two blogs I run and see some of the postings, see if they bring back any memories and anything I want to say about them. There's RTE have started podcasting, and they brought out, I think, three shows or three programs, two of them programs, one of them a series of shows called The Quantum Leap, which is a science program. And it's good if you can get a listen to that show. Excellent science program. And I've probably a quarter of my podcasts that I listen to are science shows from Australia and Canada and NPR and the UK. And now Ireland, it's kind of first fledgling attempt by RTE to do podcasting is The Quantum Leap. For example, tonight they are broadcasting live at 8 p.m. and they had Sarah Flannery from Cork on as a spotlighted scientist from Ireland. And none of you may know who Sarah Flannery is, but she was the girl in 99 of school-going age, a 15 or 16-year-old. And she won the Young Scientist, and she took that win to Europe, and she won the European Scientist of the Year, Young Scientist of the Year. And she did some crypto stuff, and she was kind of on work experience in the company that I was working in, Baltimore Technologies, at the time, and that's how I know about Sarah. But she was the scientist of the week for the spotlight, and that's The Quantum Leap. Just one kind of bugbear I have with the RTE podcasting situation is they launched The Quantum Leap podcast on the 10th/11th of November, and 10, 12, 14 days has passed now, 13 days, 14 days, and they haven't updated it. So the broadcast show of the 17th of November never appeared in the update, in the RSS feed. And I'm just concerned that it just withers and dies there. And I'd just be conscious if anybody from RTÉ is listening to me now or reading my blog that they might think about, you know, updating it, contacting me, talking to me, talking to other podcasters, and see if we can establish some sort of regularity on that particular one. Because I think it's brilliant that our state broadcaster, who sits on the most amazing archive and hold it in some sort of trust, I suppose, for the Irish people, are podcasting, because they could offer us some great, compelling content from yesteryear. Think of my memories. Think of me playing that, you know, jingle in the I Love Radio, O'Donnell Abu, starting up the transmitters in the morning. It could do all those sounds and many, many more from the archive, and that would be just wonderful, wonderful to hear. So, you know, it's not a criticism that they haven't updated their first one. Well, it is, but, I think they can improve on that and bring it much, much more forward. Sooner the better. It would be great. Flicking down, I did a long one, a long post on, do you want 10,000 listeners? I'm going to skip that. I won't read that out just now. Two iPods and a packet of crisps. This first blast across Engadget in July, I think. And the sale of Guinness in Ireland is down 6%. And the CEO knows exactly why. And it's because young gentlemen in Ireland are prepared to spend more money on gadgets, including iPods, than they are prepared to pay for the old stout. Now, I think it's a bit of a cheap shot at the iPod, because if you know anything about Irish drinking habits and Irish bars, you will know that in March of 2004, they brought in the smoking ban. And I hope I've got the year right on that one. And it is, because it would have been a year back in March. Yes. So I think it has more to do with that. People are not going to the pub as much because they like the old cigarette. And I've got one here and I wanted it. It's like when you're watching a film and you see somebody, you know, light up, and you're in the smoke-free cinema for the last 12 or 13 years, and you think, oh, I want to go out and have a cigarette. Love one. It's just when you start talking about it on the podcast, I want one. But I think a cheap shot from the CEO of Guinness Ireland there on the old iPod. Okay, more podcasts than radio stations by Paddy's Day 2006 is my prediction. And it's there in the blog, and it's dated 19th of November, that there are about 25,000 podcasts according to iTunes. I think that's highly inflated. 19,000 being tracked by Podnova. That's not inflated, but I'd say the viability of a lot of that 19,000 wouldn't be exactly accurate. 10,000 podcasts according to Podcast Alley. These all date to the 19th of November 2005. I think the Podcast Alley is probably closest to the true number. But anyhow, there are 36,000 radio stations in the world. Now, that number comes from a book I read once called I'm an Oil Tanker by Fee Glover. And I'm looking to the day when there's more podcasts than radio stations. More cigarette. I'm enjoying this one. When there are more podcasts than radio stations, think of the amount of choice there's going to be. Because most radio stations are parts of networks that have an agreed format, so they all sound the same. But if you've got 36,000 different podcasts, a podcast isn't equal to a radio station. Let's get that one clear. A podcast is more equal or akin to a show. And that becomes important when you start talking about money, but we'll get onto that in the future. There is so much choice in podcasting versus those 36,000 radio stations that I think that is a milestone that will happen. my prediction could be way out. I am no expert on these predictions, and I don't play the lotto, and I don't bet on horses, and I don't do any forms of gambling that I can think of. But I'm just making a prediction, and I think that on March 17th, 2006, there'll be more podcasts than radio stations in the world. You can check back and see if I was right in the future. I finish off that post with a quote from a song by Queen. And the quote is from the song Radio Gaga. And it is, "So don't become some background noise, a backdrop for girls and boys who just don't know or just don't care and just complain when you're not there. You had your time, you had the power, you've yet to have your finest hour, radio." Strong words indeed. WXTC.net, you're listening to Brian Green and this is the podcast. Just a quick check on the clock and I've been talking 26 minutes dry. I think that's a record for this podcast because normally there's music and there's infills and there's production and it's just so unusual. So I hope you're not totally bored with it at this stage, but it is the format for many a podcast is just, you know, the microphone, the voice, the story, the bits and pieces, the endless rambling and ranting. So hopefully you'll stay with us just a bit longer as we share some of the posts from my main blog, briangreen.com. Peach water, 69 cent in Tesco. It's gorgeous and it's cheap. Met warning issued 23rd of November. There's a big snowstorm coming. It's coming across the British Isles and the north of Ireland is going to be covered in a blanket of snow. Probably as I speak, the temperatures are down and the precipitation is available for snow. So we'll see if it happens. It almost sounds like I'm wishing it like I'm a child and we get off school if it snows. The country will come to a standstill because we can't handle snow. And neither can the United Kingdom either. So we'll see how that one pans out over the next 48 hours. But bitterly cold winds are coming down from the Arctic and biting our bums off. I often hear other podcasts talking about radio in a negative sort of way and saying radio's dead and it's got no future and podcasting is its saviour and that's the panacea of all ills and it's going to cure everything. Not true. There is some good radio out there. There's some bad radio out there that from time to time does some good things. And I happened to have a moment this morning at, it'd be about 7:30, 7:40 in the morning. And if you don't know me, you don't know that I have a serious problem with being awake at that time of the morning. Unless I've been doing an all-nighter, I'll be around at 7 o'clock in the morning. But in the last week to 2 weeks, because of the amount of work that's been going on various fronts, I have been active at that hour of the morning. And from some of my post times, you can see that I have been. I was listening to the radio and I was laptoped in bed with Wi-Fi and I heard the clock radio on the other side of the room playing out a song and it was one of those moments that can send, you know, it could have but it didn't, but it could have sent shivers down the spine listening to this because it was wonderful and it's something I hadn't heard of before and I knew it was new, but it was from Bob Marley. And I hadn't had much new music from Bob Marley over the years for obvious reasons, but there was a new song of his played on RTE 2FM this morning and it was released on November 8th and clear his throat. It's called Slogans and I thought, you know, sometimes from my youth I'd mishear lyrics and I'd certainly mishear lyrics from Bob Marley, but I thought he was saying there was going to be no slow dance, but he was saying there's going to be no slogans. The music on it, the production is new, but the recording is from 79 in a hotel room and the song rips. And that's not a review of the song and I'm no music journalist, but let's say licensing might prohibit me playing the song here and now, but maybe from what I've said about it, you might consider checking out a new album of Bob's, and it is being released. It's called Unite, Africa Unite, the singles collection. It's out on Island, Tuff Gong and UME Records, and it's out a couple of weeks. Check it out. And that's the single, and a song that has been revived from yesteryear. But my God, that really, it struck a blow. As I said, almost shivers down the spine. You know when you hear your national anthem and all that kind of stuff? Hairs on the back of your neck. Well, almost like that. Clever dicks in Google, I write, and I snip, because it was a good article that covers a story that says Google have been able to reduce its tax burden by recognising profits in Ireland. I'll just quote it here. It's Colm Keane, and he's writing in the Irish Times. And have we got a date on that article from the Irish Times? Looking, the 18th of November. He says the filings indicate that the multinational's effective tax rate has dropped from 39% to 31%, indicating it is saving approximately $100 million a year in taxes via its Irish business. This is primarily because proportionately more of our earnings in 2005 compared to 2004 are expected to be recognised in our Irish subsidiary, and such earnings are taxed at a lower statutory tax rate of 12.5%. Thank you to the Irish government. And they'd pay 35% if they were recognising this profit and money and revenues in the United States. So massive savings to Google. Clever dicks, the accountants in Google, recognising money here. Massive tax loopholes and avoidance and evadence and all sorts of things can be performed, especially if you have a 12.5% tax rate. Google make millions and billions and are worth billions. They've got a tax rate of 12.5%. Tell you what, it's about half of my tax rate. I pay about twice that in a percentage of my earnings in tax. Why? It's the world turned upside down. I just don't understand it. It's not fair and it needs to be changed. And something has to be done about it. We move on and we see a number of cross posts from the podcasting blog. And finally, I'll share with you one more story from my blog. And I'm jumping between two and saying, which one will I share with you? The Fingal bin tax rises 50%. Now, it's just over 2 years since I was heavily involved in the anti-bin tax campaign out on the streets, stopping the trucks and campaigning for taxation justice. They introduced a bin tax on top of our income tax, and it has gone up 50% since its introduction in the county that I live in. That's the backdrop. The full details on that particular story are on the blog, and you can see that at briangreen.com. And I am ranting and I am mad about those rises. It's wxtc.net, and you can email us. It's quite simple to remember. It's radio@wxtc.net, and we look forward to your comments. Please do send them in. One that did come in, and it's only arrived just over 2 hours ago, and it comes from Robin D, and he says, just been listening to the show I Love Radio, very enjoyable. I also run a radio on demand station called Golden Radio International, which is part of my bigger archive radio site, the Museum of Commercial Radio. We run an archive of recordings on the site with free downloads, and this month's recording is Radio Nova Dublin with Rick Harris. The music shows are updated monthly. I loved your very laid-back style of the show, although our station has a very high-powered format. I'm planning an informal sort of at-home show to go out over the new year. Thanks for the email, Robin, and I will follow your instruction and I will check out your couple of sites and shows and museum there, and look forward to hearing that as soon as this one's put to bed. Hang on, I was doing a reply to him and I haven't sent it yet, have I? So here we go, send, and it's gone. WXTC.net and the email radio@WXTC.net. Now, if you've waited this long, how long? 35 minutes dry air with one break for a sip of water. Hang on, here's another sip. Peach water, Tesco, 69 cents. You heard about it on this particular podcast. We're going to do what we promised you in the last show just over a month ago, and part two, the I Love Radio. So in a few moments' time, I Love Radio, part two. I Love Radio, part two. It all began for me in 1985. Well, actually, go back a month. It started about December 84, and I got it into my head that I had just turned 15 and I wanted to be on the radio. And I had a local community radio station, which is about 5 miles up the road, and I set my sights on getting involved and being on air at that station. By chance and through luck, I discovered that the station manager of this station lived within my own housing estate, and I knew some of the kids in his family and I knew where he lived, so I went up, banged on his door and said, I'd like to go onto the radio station, I'd like to do some work there. And he said, you know, come back, you know, after Christmas, come back, you know, maybe when you're older. It was the impression I got, and not to be defeated by that, and it wasn't a put down really. I went back to Billy and I knocked on the door again and I asked, and he set it up, and I went in April of 85 up on Saturday mornings about 8 a.m. in the morning, freezing cold, and I thought I was shaking because I was nervous, but it was the cold really. And I kind of got broken in and got shown the equipment for 4 weeks, and after 4 weeks I was on my own. I was able to go on air with virtually no training really, and just, you know, deep end stuff, in you go, off you go, run the equipment, take the mic, take the phone calls, do the ads, do everything. Solo operation, 2 hours, 3 hours, next guy didn't turn up, you know, that kind of stuff. You're in at the deep end. So, without any intro, here's my first outing on the airwaves, May 18th, 1985.
You're listening to North Dublin Community Radio on 100 FM. That was Blondie and Dreaming, and before that, Blondie again and Rifle Range. Thank you to Dennis Clark for the past 2 hours of nice music, and I'm Brian Green, taking you up to 1:30 today. This is New Life from Depeche Mode.
So there you go, that's what I sounded like before the voice broke. I think it hadn't broken by then. What's kind of amazing about that is the fact that it exists after all these years. Now, you know, it might be an important seminal moment in your life, and you'd, you know, record it and you'd keep it and you'd never lose it. And I haven't, but I didn't record it, and I have my brother Conrad to thank for recording that for me. And it was recorded at distance and just on the edge of reception, 5 miles out from the transmitting tower of NDC Orr in Coolock, North Dublin. And thanks to him that Saturday for, you know, recording it in a very professional air check way to save on cassette tape. He chopped up most of that show. What you heard there was the first link, and it was coming in off the second track that I had played on the show, which was Dreaming by Blondie. And the first track I played was Rifle Range by Blondie, which I think is the B-side to Heart of Glass. and it would have been deliberately played. It wasn't a B-side by accident or anything. There was going to be loads of 33s, not 45 accidents anyhow. But if you're interested, try this out. Get Rifle Range and get Dreaming and play them back to back, no gap, and see what you hear. And when you hear it, if you bother to do it, you will hear that the drum beats are continuous between Rifle Range and Dreaming. And I went on air with, you know, well, it was like light socket switches for the decks, and it was roll it back a quarter inch on a cloud and roll it back, you know, an eighth of a turn on the other one, and the belt-driven motors, but the vinyl. Check out that mix. I was very proud of that. WXTC.net, you're listening to I Love Radio Part 2 with myself, Brian Green. What did radio really sound like back in 1985 or through the 80s? Have a listen to this next piece. It will give you an indication of the sound quality of radio in general on the medium wave, and it will give you an indication of the style of presenting and also a bit of politics. Have a listen to this.
Her name again is Anne Sheridan, 72 Santry Close, Santry in Dublin 9. Now, this is the letter she received from the Office of the Minister of State at the Department of Communications. It read, "Dear Miss Sheridan, Mr. Ted Neilan, TD, Minister of State at the Department of Communications, has asked me to acknowledge receipt of your recent letter addressed to the Minister for Communications, Mr. Jim Mitchell, TD, regarding local radio. In proposed legislation currently before the door, the Minister proposes to set up a local radio commission, which will have the task of selecting the people who will be authorised to establish radio services. It is not possible at this stage to say who will be awarded licences. I hope that this explains the position for you. Yours sincerely, J. Bowen, Private Secretary to Mr. Mitchell." And that was that. Obviously no information being released. Thanks again, Anne. Thank you very much for your interest in supporting us. And we're very proud of you here on Dusty's Trail because you're a true trainer.
I don't want to put you through too much more of that sound. Nowadays, you just would not get away with audio quality like that. The, I don't know what you call it on transmitters and on medium wave, but that kind of cross-channel interference was whistling away. That was Radio Dublin, and the on-air presenter was Dusty's Trail, and Jones. His surname was Jones, wasn't it? It'll come back to me. And he was reading from his mailbag a letter that a listener had received back from their local TD with regard to, can I get my radio station licensed, because they were pirate. That was one of probably 2,000 letters that was in that disc jockey's mailbag that week. And he had tens of thousands of listeners who, you know, enjoyed that audio quality and that style of presentation. That was an enormous show, and it was listened throughout the length and breadth of this city and its suburbs, and, you know, more power to them. That's all I can say. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Dusty's Trail, Radio Dublin. Radio Dublin was on 253 metres medium wave, and as they got all technical, they were able to convert that into kilohertz. 1188 was the frequency. 9 kilohertz away, as we separate here in Europe, was Radio Sweden International. Have a listen to this.
Sveriges Radio Utlandsprogrammet.
Radio Sweden International.
Radio Sweden International, a station I listened to quite a lot as I was growing up listening to the radio. And why? I don't know. I have no relations from Sweden. Maybe I had some distant relations from Sweden who invaded Ireland many years ago, but none that I know of. But I loved that station, and I still dip into it on the web from time to time. Particularly its science programs, and it had this excellent program called Sweden Calling DXers That was a DX program that many national and international broadcasters would have. Theirs was particularly good and special. In 94, when I got my first email account, one of the first mailing lists that I subscribed to was the Sweden Calling DXers mailing list, which was renamed MediaScan and was put out for many years by George Wood. In fact, I'm still on the list, and the list still exists in some forms. The programme ran from, I think, the 40s through to the 90s, when the heads at Sweden decided to ditch the programme. The programme lived on by mailing list for a number of years, and as I say, the list is still there in some forms. And from time to time, George does put out a bulletin of MediaScan, Sweden Calling DXers. He now blogs, and you can search for George Wood on Google and check out where he is blogging his news items. News in the radio spectrum nowadays is focusing on DRM and other such technologies. But he dipped in out of a period of about 6 months of silence on March the 18th, 2005, this March, and mentioned that Sweden, Radio Sweden, were podcasting. And I had missed podcasting for the previous 9 months of its infancy, and my ears pricked, and something happened, and you've witnessed everything that's changed with my embracing of podcasting. And it goes back to that program, that mailing list, that blogger, and the history of that radio show from Radio Sweden that has, you know, there is the connection as to how I am doing what I am doing right now. Amazing stuff. WXTC.net, I Love Radio Part 2, and more of me on the radio. I did promise you more of me on the radio, and I did hope to cover all the stations that I was involved in. NDCR in 85, my own first station in 86, Big Beat Radio, my centre radio projects, which spanned, you know, summer holidays and Christmas holidays, and eventually it shut down in 88. I haven't got sections from those stations because they're across too many tapes and the production time involved would be way too many. But let's go back to May the 18th, 1985, my first show, and evidence of the producer in me and my ability to do some mashups. This was an impromptu on-air live mix of some audio archive and some music, and we'll let you hear some of that now.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the World War II version.
Germany calling, Germany calling. Here are the Reichs into ambush. Station Bremen and station DXB on the 31 meter band. You are about to hear our news in English.
Reports the British cruiser Exeter has been run aground near Port Stanley on the east coast of the Falkland Islands. This American newspaper states that the Exeter has been so severely damaged by the artillery of the Admiral Graf Spee that it is impossible to make the ship seaworthy again. As some of the guns of the Exeter are still in good working order, the British Admiralty obviously intends to make use of the hulk as an additional coastal battery at Port Stanley. Diplomatic correspondent of the Italian newspaper Tribuna writes that England and France are spreading false and misleading rumors about alleged intentions of Germany in the Balkans to create trouble and panic in that area, which has so far been kept out of the war. The Italian journalist points out that these allegations against Germany are entirely unfounded.
The chilling and haunting voice of William Joyce, Lord Haha. Hitler's propagandist on the airwaves, and his news report that was typical of his output during the war, mixed with Frankie Goes to Hollywood's extended 12-inch version of Two Tribes. which had a war-esque kind of vibe to it, if you can remember back to 85. WXTC and I Love Radio Part 2. I'm Brian Green. Email radio at WXTC.net. We're going to wrap Part 2 here. I do promise to bring you more archive recordings from yesteryear and me on the radio in the future. Yeah, let's be imaginative. Let's call it Part 3. It's a promise for the future. We'll leave you with a recording and a promo from Bray Local Broadcasting, BLB, and their output of a syndicated promo promoting community radio.
Is convinced that there is a need for local radio, that community radio can be of a great service to the local people.
We've been pressing for many years for improvement and enhancement at every level in radio.
Different people have different views as to the form local radio should take.
A lot of people in this area are now aware of what community radio means.
In the end, in my view, it's the listeners who will dictate what form local radio takes, not the legislators, but the listeners.
I believe that nobody has the right to say we are the only people who can decide who can broadcast.
Competition will do RT good, and it will also do the provincial press good.
Sure, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Shout to the top for community radio.
Radio WXTC.net. Radio WXTC.net. Dot, 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 net.